Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I'm so excited that you're here. If you don't know, I'm Jeanette, your host, and we are in week two of our Focus on Family series, and today we are talking all about marriage, the struggles that we face, and how we need to have people around us holding us up and holding us accountable. Our marriage struggles can be so isolating, and we want to use today's conversation to normalize some of those struggles. After listening to today's podcast, I hope that you will feel heard and supported, and for sure not alone. We have all seen struggles, and so often the person that we love the most often gets the worst part of us. I mean, that's true in our house. Of me. Just keeping it real, you know? I'm so thankful for today's guest, Amanda Borrego, as she shares a little bit about their marriage struggles, what changed for them, and how they continue to keep their marriage healthy. So friend, grab a cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Amanda Borrego, who is a podcast host of her own, and we are talking all about marriage and the struggles in marriage. And I just want to say, first off, we're not going to glorify marriage, but we're also not going to glorify like the hard times in marriage, but we're going to talk about normalizing marriage struggles. And I'm just so excited to have this conversation because marriage is so important. So Amanda, hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm excited to talk to you. And thank you for having me on today. I feel so honored. This is exciting for me.
This is so fun. I love making new friends, which is the whole reason why I have this show. But it's just so fun to talk to you. So thanks again for joining me. This is going to be a really, really good conversation, I think.
Yes, yes.
Okay, first, what's in your cup? Are you drinking anything?
Yes, I am. I knew that was the theme of the show, so I got my cup. It's not coffee, but I can talk about my favorite coffee, but right now I'm drinking, it's a green and black tea with some aloe vera in it.
Oh, that sounds good. Tell me, when you go out and about, what's your go-to coffee order?
So, I never really used to pick up coffee that much. I'm kind of more like, let's make it at home and save money kind of person. Yeah. But recently my husband, we're a blended family. So every time my stepson comes back home, he likes to kind of go for a little treat. And so they always go to Starbucks, and I have no idea what he gets me, but it's always delicious.
That's so good. Starbucks is just like, it's the perfect little treat place.
It really is. It really is. But for me, like, I do have coffee, maybe like two or three times a week, but coffee is like something kind of really close to my heart because, I come from a really big tight knit Hispanic family. Mm-hmm. We live right next to my grandparents. And since I can remember the entire time growing up, everybody goes to my grandparents' house for coffee in the morning. And so, of course, I haven't always been, I mean, that's not a daily thing for me, but it's a daily thing for like my parents. But it is like a couple times a week thing for me. And it used to be more so before COVID, you know, mm-hmm. we're trying to keep my grandpa safe. He's 96 years old, so we don't go as much. But so coffee for me, it's just like, it makes me feel just so at home and like nurtured. And so I save it for like just those times where I need to be a little bit more filled up, I think. And so I love coffee though.
Yeah, I love that. That's so sweet. I think that there's something really special, and it's partly why the podcast is called It's Time for Coffee, but there's something special about when you gather for something intentional like that. Like there's something sweet about when you know that you're going to your grandparents' house to be loved on in a really significant, special way. That's how I feel about like these times when I get to sit down with friends, or when I leave a real life coffee date with a friend and I walk away feeling like so grateful that I have that relationship in my life, that that person just poured into me specifically. And that's what I hope this podcast is for so many people.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I totally relate. I know that feeling. And I pray the same thing that at least one person would leave feeling filled up and supported and nurtured. So, heck yes to that.
Okay. So we are talking all about marriage. We're in our marriage series, or in our family series, excuse me. And we are specifically talking about marriage. So start by telling me about your marriage.
Yeah, so actually this last year, 2020, was probably one of the best years for our marriage. And I think it was because my husband started working at home. We prior to this last year, we were really having some brutal marriage struggles. So I think we had already come to a point where we were having to deal with that, or else our marriage was going to end. And so I think we had already kind of started the process. And so by the time when the time came that we were both home, my husband started working at home and I've been a stay-at-home mom. We were forced to deal with each other. It wasn't like a shock. Like we had already kind of been moving, forced to move in that direction. And a funny thing is, my husband, he's such a great guy. He decided to get baptized. I think it was last week. And so we go to get baptized at our church. And, you know, because of COVID, there's it's a one-on-one thing. And it was just so special. But one of the things the pastor told us, and he's been with us on our journey. And he told us, I've been floored with how many couples who have been married for 15, 20 years are now coming and needing real help. Like I've had so many calls of couples who have, you know, whose marriages look like they've stood the test of time, who are now having to deal with each other because they're at home. And before they were working 8 to 5, they had a little bit of contact in the morning and a little bit at night. And now they're having to deal with their issues. They can't just brush them under the rug anymore. So I know for a lot of people, this has been the hardest year. But for us, it's definitely started before that. I think it kind of started, we were building our house, and that's a stressful thing in itself. But we were living with my parents while we were building. And so I think a lot of things were suppressed. And, you know, we didn't want to fight and deal with our issues in front of anybody, of course, you know. So we tried to keep the peace. And so I think a lot of things kind of blew up after that. And it really, really did get bad. There were times where we were just fighting so bad, we would throw the divorce word around like it was nobody's business. One time, like there were times where I told my husband, leave, like leave. And then he would, and I'd be like, oh my God, I can't, like, where is he? Calling him back, you know, once the sun went down. And there were times it got so bad that I would say, go get the divorce papers, like now, go get them. And there were a day that he brought it home, and I was like, I ask you to do so. Here he was like, well, you told me to do this. And I'm like, I've told you to do so many things, and this is the one that you actually do. And then I remember he got so mad and he threw the divorce papers and like high, and they went like above our cabinets, and they might be still sitting up there somewhere because they were really high up.
Let's talk about your podcast a little bit, because I know that your podcast was birthed out of like wanting to kind of talk more about people who have stood the test of time. And so tell me about your show.
Yeah, so it got started because it was so bad, and I went to a girls' night one, I guess it was a year ago. I think it was a year ago. And I went to a girls' night with my aunts and my cousins. All the guys in our family were out hunting. So it was just all the girls, and we went out for a girls' night, and we got to talking about the struggles in marriage. And the struggles are real. And it was kind of, you know, being joked about. In my family, we try not to really bash our spouses to each other because family members tend to hold on to that a lot longer than I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to move forward and get over it with my husband, and then my family's still going to be mad, right? So we don't really, like, you know, tell all the details and bash. But we were talking about, you know, just some light stuff. My aunts shared some stories about what happened early on in their marriage. And first, let me say that I already said I come from a big, tight-knit Hispanic family. But my dad is one of six siblings, and they are all still married. And so it's kind of like shocking in today's day and age. But they are all just my heroes. I mean, they are such good people, godly, like they have just been the best examples for me. And so when my aunts were sharing some of the things that they went to early on in their marriage, I was completely floored. I was like, no way, not my uncles, not my father, no way. And so I just ended up feeling so happy. And I was like, okay, I guess misery really does love company. I just was like, I thought I was the only one who had struggles. And so hearing that other people had struggles, and they said, my mom and my aunt said, like, we're only married by the grace of God. We are only still married by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so I just left thinking, wow, like, okay, if they can do it, then I can do it. And I just felt supported and just like I was not alone. And so it's been said on the podcast before, one of the people I interviewed said, we need to normalize having marriage problems. So it's so interesting to me that you said that right now. And I think it's like you say, it's a very fine line for me to walk on the podcast, because I want to be vulnerable enough to share some of the hard things we have gone through, but I don't want to air all of our dirty laundry and bash my marriage, because I don't think that that's healthy either. So inside of the podcast, I think that's just the main message, is find support. And I encourage people, ask your elders, go to your elders for help. I know that it's an awkward conversation, because most people have just never talked about it before. And I think most people don't want to come off as like negative or being a downer. And so it's kind of an awkward thing to open up. But we just encourage, like, find support, and you are not alone. You are not alone.
Absolutely. And I think normalizing arguing within marriages, right? Like, one of the things that my parents always did was they would fight behind closed doors, which is great, except for the fact that I never knew my parents fought. So I am married and we're fighting, and I'm like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Like, marriages don't fight. And it's so interesting, because we're all raised so differently, yet we need to see these common things. Cause as we get married, we need to know how to have an argument. We need to know how to wrap stuff up when we are fighting, instead of letting things either explode one way or just fizzle out and get tucked under the rug. And so it's such an interesting thing to even say, like, we need to talk to our parents about this, because it's hard to talk to our parents and be like, hey, one, I might be struggling, or two, like, tell me your biggest struggles, because nobody wants to know. But we need to normalize it, because it's a huge part in overcoming it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a very fine line to walk as well, because I guess maybe for me, it's kind of more about being selective on which arguments we have in front of the kids. Of course, we're not gonna, there's certain things, of course, we're not gonna talk about in front of the kids. But no, I think you're so right. It's so important for us to be intentional on, if we do have an argument that we can have in front of the kids, then to do that. And I agree. I didn't see that growing up either. And of course, because of good intentions, but I think moving forward, it's something to consider. Okay, well, how can I do better inside of my own little family with, you know, what I know now?
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. So y'all were on the brink of divorce. What changed?
Well, like I said, we would throw that word around a lot. But in my family, we have always been told divorce is not an option. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want someone to hear that has far more serious issues than I have. And, you know,
right.
Take that to heart. You know, we're not talking about abuse or, anything like that. If there are more serious problems, like, I'm not your girl, like, please go get professional help.
Yep.
And talk to your pastor. So that's not what we're talking about. But for us growing up in my family, we were always told divorce isn't an option. And my elders lived that out. And so I think in the back of my mind, I kind of always knew it wasn't going to happen. But I like to threaten with it a lot. And I can't say that it wasn't going to happen because it was very real. It was very hard. We were in a very, very dark place. So what changed is just really, it got so bad one night that I ended up texting a couple of our elders. And I said, if we don't get help, we're going to get divorced. Yeah. And it was just so bad that was real. It wasn't like, you know, just a fake cry for help or drama. Like, it was real. We'd been struggling for a long time and we had been hiding for a long time because we were just embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's embarrassing to just grow to a place where you feel like you hate each other. I really think that's how we felt. I mean, it was really bad. And so I sent this text out and they really came behind us and started supporting us and praying for us, reminding us that we were in their prayers, mm-hmm. And checking in on us. And then it gave me courage to really reach out a little bit more. And I ended up, you know, it didn't all get better from there. There were still things that were coming up where we were really struggling and throwing the divorce word around. And I've just been really blessed with some amazing women in my life. I was going through these hard things, and so I tried to plug into a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And I met a woman there that I felt like I could just really open up to and tell her what was really, really going on and what were some of these embarrassing issues that I didn't want to talk about, where I didn't feel comfortable telling my family some of those things.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed somebody outside of the family and a friend. And so I told this woman, and she said, can I come over to your house? And I had probably been to one of these Bible studies once, maybe twice. And she came over and she just told me her own story and what she saw growing up with her parents. And she just prayed over us. And she's actually on one of my episodes. And so go listen. But she just like spoke life over us and prayed over us. And I had that exact same thing happen another time with another woman who was one of my clients. And she had always invited us to her own couple's Bible study. And I just felt comfortable enough to reach out to her. And I just said, like, because my husband and I were going to their Bible studies consistently. Mm. And so I felt comfortable enough to tell her, like, I don't think this is going to work out. Like, we need help. And she came over and same thing. And she just said, she told us her own story. And then she just prayed over us, or just me. Both of these times it was just me. And she just said, look at your house, like, look where God has placed you. And she was looking out our windows and she just said, I'm believing and I'm praying and I know God is going to use this. He's going to use this. It's going to change around. But I think the biggest thing was these people didn't just leave us there. Yeah. Like, they kept praying and they kept checking on us. And it didn't have to be like this huge in-depth conversation every time, but I think we just felt supported. And, you know, I reached out to these women, but then in turn they went and they had their husbands, you know, who knew my husband, just check in on him. And so I think that was definitely like the place it started turning around. So I just always encourage people, like, when you have the opportunity, just share your story. You never know who it's going to encourage. You never know who's going to hold on to your words, your encouraging words, for dear life. And it is impactful. And I think so often, like in the Bible, we always think, oh, like there were these big miracles that God always used to give, and he would send food that would drop from the sky and all these miracles. But a miracle can sometimes be someone speaking life into you or praying over you or just a good person that God sends your way.
Mm-hmm. I think when he sends those people our way, we have to be honest, right? I think that's the biggest thing you said that kind of changed everything for you guys, is you were honest in saying, hey, stuff isn't okay here. Like, our home looks good on the outside, but on the inside, we're not okay. Like, we're kind of falling apart. And I know that in our own marriage struggles, it's so isolating, and we have friends who have lost children. We have friends who have gone through one or two other divorces, who have suffered through, you know, like long custody battles and all this stuff. And so when we were struggling in our marriage, it was like, well, nothing that we're going through is as bad as what our friends have seen. And our issues seemed so petty. So it was so hard for us to speak up and say, hey, we're struggling, because everything else seems so big. But I think if we had been willing to speak up sooner, we could have avoided a lot more of those arguments. Like you said, like, just when they get bigger and bigger and bigger and you can't really stuff them down anymore. And then the fights are just repeating everything that never got resolved. And so I think all in all, I think marriage struggles are isolating because we get embarrassed. And I think if we're willing to share and bring people into our mess, and I totally agree with you, very often it's not my family. And it's something my family and I have gone round and round about, because I don't want to bring my family into those things because I can let go of stuff. Like you said, I 100% agree with you on that. So it has had to be really close, trusted friends who, like, this is like my rules, basically, I guess, for lack of a better word. I want to have a friend who's going to remind me how much my husband loves me, instead of a friend who's like, yeah, F that guy, he's the worst. Like, I need somebody who's going to hold me to a higher standard, as well as remind me of the love and care that my husband has given me in the past. If our friend is struggling right now, like, should they speak up now? Should they wait? How do they speak up, I guess, is a better way to say that. How do our friends speak up?
If I could go back, I think I would start going to counseling since day one. Because there are always going to be issues that come up inside of a marriage. And so maybe if it's even just like a monthly thing, to kind of get your marriage on the right path. Because I think for most people, like most people that I talk to, say the first few years are pretty hard, because you're really like, I mean, unless you kind of live together before and all that, then you're kind of like moving in with a stranger, and all of these things are going to come up. And so why not? Like, why not? A lot of people's insurance kind of covers it. Why not see somebody once a month, for the young couples out there? But another thing, and this is on one of our episodes, I think it's titled Never Take Advice from Someone You Wouldn't Switch Lives With.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that my aunt has always told us. And, you know, you need to take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I would say, like, don't wait. I mean, don't wait. Like, it sucks to have to face it and have to deal with it. And from people I've talked to, I think men are a little bit more hesitant to go to counseling or to, you know, deal with these issues. But you just got to get to a place where you really explain and share your heart and maybe your fear inside of, you don't want these problems to grow and grow and get bigger and bigger. And so, I would say, like, don't let it get to that place where it's so bad. It's just like anything, like their struggles, and it's hard. And so it's kind of like depression, you know, we've had to deal with that inside of our family. And it's kind of like, when you are going through something like depression, like if you don't deal with it, it's going to get a grip on you. And it can be something that takes over and lasts forever, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be that way. If you get the professional help that you need, then it may be just a temporary thing. But if you keep pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off, then it may very well be something that is forever. And so just bite the bullet and, you know, take care of it. And like I said, maybe it's just a once a month thing. Maybe it's you're going to find a small group or a Bible study that you can plug into, that you have this support system that when something comes up, you can call and say, hey, and you guys have this Bible study. Hey, well, we're really struggling. Can you talk to us? Like those people who have these small groups and these Bible studies, like, don't hesitate. They have that heart that they want to help, that they want to be the person that you call and that can come and pray over you. So, I mean, it's really just a step of courage and being bold, and it don't let it get that bad. Just don't let it get that bad.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, if it has gotten bad, there's still ways to pull out of it, but living in that like tiresome pit, for lack of a better word, that tiresome pit just makes it so much harder to crawl out. And so mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think counseling is a great option. I think speaking up and asking for help. One of the studies that we did, when we were in our hardest parts of our marriage, I don't even think we knew that we were in a hard part. We just thought that's what life was. Like it just, mm-hmm. it looked hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It just kind of what it was. And so we did the Bible study, Love and Respect. And I think the best part of that Bible study was for us, we had some trusted friends and like mentors. Like they were quite a few stages ahead of us. And we got to hear their story. And they came from a previous marriage, each of them. And we got to hear how their first marriage had fallen apart and how they came into their second marriage and the issues that they had in that marriage. And how they overcame. And so it was so good for us to see, and like, it's exactly what we're talking about. It normalized marriage struggles. It normalized arguing. And then it taught us how to jump off the crazy cycle, which they talk about in the book. It taught us how to argue properly. It taught us how to like put stuff to bed. And I think that it was one of the best things we've ever done in our marriage, because there's times where we'll like kind of sit back after an argument and be like, oh, we were just on the crazy cycle. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that our marriage is perfect. By all means, we still argue. We still struggle. We still have nights where I'm like, I can't talk to you anymore. I just have to go to sleep because mm-hmm. it's hard. But it's hard because we're sinful people, right? Like we live in a fallen world, and it's hard because it's just work. But at the same time, it's so holy because it's two people becoming one in the eyes of the Lord, and we are joined in a holy union. So it's hard work, but it's so worth it.
So really quick, I just wanted to go off of something you just said, and you were talking about being in like a tiresome pit and you just don't even realize that it was so bad until you kind of look back, and then you kind of take forward these mentalities and these mindsets, and they do kind of get a grip on you of when you were struggling like that. And then you take these like attitudes and tendencies from that, and you keep treating your spouse that same way. You take that bitterness, and it's hard to get rid of those things. And the longer you stay there, the harder it is. And so when like the advice that I try to remind myself of, and this is something my grandma always used to tell us, was this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's so hard to believe those words, but mm-hmm. this too shall pass. And for so many, I think what happens is we decide to call it quits when we are in that pit. And because of that, then we miss the blessings that are on the other side if we would have just grown through it. And so we talk about this in one of our episodes, and we just talk about how most people, and one of our elders was saying that they've noticed that most of their friends who ended up separating or getting a divorce look back and wish they would have stuck it out and tried harder, because there was so much more at risk than they realized at the time. And I know that just statistically, you know, second marriages have an even greater chance of divorce than first. And so sometimes it's just sticking it out and going through the hard things and leaning on God like you never have before. Because in the same episode that I'm talking about, we talk about you're gonna have to deal with it at some point. Like, you're never gonna find a spouse or where it's just like, oh, this is all magical every day. Every day is like walking through a field full of daisies. Like, it's literally never gonna be like that. You're always gonna have fights. You're always gonna run into those pits where you just feel like you're stuck. And so nobody's exempt. Like, we're gonna have to work through it at some point in time. So why not put in the work now? And I know that sometimes you really just do not feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but I promise that with God, there really is. And it reminds me of that verse that goes, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And we just have to believe that. And it's hard, but that's what faith is. It's just putting one foot in front of the other and just even memorizing something like that. Like, okay, I know, like right here, the Bible, it doesn't say if trials come your way, it says when, you know, so when they come our way, like, consider it joy. Like, what can I do to get better? What can I do to grow?
Yeah, I agree so much, because it is going to happen. We are sinful people no matter what, right? We live in a sinful world, and while we chase after the cross and we love Jesus so much, we're still gonna fall short. So when troubles come our way, it's worth it to press through and to fight it and to fight it out, but also to fight for our marriages. Yeah, man. Thank you for
that. And I mean, that goes kind of exactly along with the title of our show. You know, it's worth it. Our show is called A Fight Worth Fighting. It is a fight. Like, it's going to be hard. But there's going to be miracles along the way, and there's going to be so many good memories along the way. But I think in our day and age, what we see on social media, we just assume that it's always going to be good. And the world tells us, oh, if it doesn't make you happy, find something else. And that's just not true.
Okay. Because we believe that there's a time for everything under the sun. Right now we're having coffee because it's time for coffee. What is it time for in your life right now?
So like I said in the beginning, I think our hardest years in marriage are behind us. Thank you, God. But I think we have like so much healing to do and getting rid of some of those old tendencies that we have and habits that we have inside of how we treat each other during those really hurtful times. And so I was just talking with my husband yesterday on what we want to take forward into this new year. And for us, it was becoming friends. And so at this point in time, it's time for my husband and I to become friends and realize that sometimes we still act in a way that we don't mean to. And sometimes we act in a way that's not showing the way we really feel towards each other. And so we talked about having a heart to just move forward quickly and forgive quickly, and just realizing that some of those things are just tendencies and out of habit, and they don't really show the true way we feel about each other. And so like you said, at times I think marriage can be isolating. I think this entire past year has been isolating. And so one goal that we kind of had was we want to make some godly friends, but inside of that, we said, my husband and I agreed, we need to become friends first. And so for us, that means we talked about, like, let's just really find joy in each other. Like, let's really find joy in our kids. Like, let's remember that, oh my God, these kids are the light of our lives. And let's not look at when we play with them and wrestle on the floor with them or go down the slide with them for the millionth time. Let's not look at it like, oh, a chore that we're doing for them, let's remember we're doing it for us too. Mm-hmm. Like, let's remember how fun they are and that we are having fun with them and that this is for us. So let's just find the joy in our little family unit. And for me, this theme has come up time and time again throughout this year. And it even came up with the last person that I was interviewing, and that was Amanda, focus on you and your little family. And that's been really hard for me to learn because, like I told you, I come from a big tight-knit family and we're always together. We're always planning things. And I've just realized so often my eyes are focused elsewhere on all of the distractions. And I tend to put other people before I put my own family and before I put my own husband. And so often he's the last person to hear this cool story that happened to me, or he's the last person to find out our dinner plans for the night. And it's not right. It's not right. And it's not healthy for our marriage. Yeah. And so a theme for me this year has been focus on you and your own little family. And then it was funny, I was interviewing a man the other day. I usually mostly have women that I interview, but I was interviewing a man and I told him, if you had a magic wand that you could wave and say, poof, like, men, if you would just do this, your marriages would improve drastically. And so I was kind of wanting him to call out the men, but his advice was get rid of all the distractions, stop listening to all of the people around you. And, you know, of course, like, we aren't going to like cut off our family. That's not what I'm saying at all. But he was like, just tune in and focus on your own little immediate family, you and your husband and your kids. And so I was like, okay, God, you're telling me this again for I don't know how many times over this past year. And so for me, that is just really what it's time for, is to just really work, do the work, and focus on my husband and on my kids and finding the joy in them and putting my family first and really clinging to my husband and growing into the family we want to be.
I love that so much. We have had seasons where it's kind of been the opposite, where we've been too close of friends, you know, where it's like, we're best friends. And it's like, that's awesome. But like, I also like want to be more than friends. Like, so there's been seasons where we've had to really fight for intimacy or fight for a partnership over a friendship. So I just like that there's lots of different seasons in our marriages, and how no matter what, when we're fighting for our marriage, we're fighting for one another. And that is fighting for a unified unit of believers.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And I think, like you said, like, we just need that reminder. It's always going to be a fight, but it is a fight worth fighting. And we just need to not get discouraged in those fights. You know, we need to somehow start normalizing that it's okay. Like, it happens. Don't stay there. Like, just don't stay there. Like, you're going to have to work through it, but at the same time, plan something fun, find a way to laugh. You know, don't just stay there and think that it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Amanda, where can we find your podcast? Is it everywhere there our friends listen?
Yeah. It's everywhere. It's called A Fight Worth Fighting. It has a picture of a girl like flexing her arm. And then you can check out our website at afwfpodcast.com. And I encourage you to go there, because at the end of every episode, we ask our elders to leave us with a marriage challenge. And so we've taken all of our marriage challenges and we have created a principle challenge for you. It's a week's worth of daily miracles. And we say that hopefully it will help create big miracles in your own marriage, because we all deserve for our home and our marriage to be our happy place. And so, yeah, it's afwfpodcast.com. And then I'm also on Instagram at Amanda Marie Borrego. And you can also follow the podcast on Instagram. I think it's just Fight Worth Fighting. Perfect. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk about your marriage and your struggles, but also normalizing this so that our friends on the other side can say, oh, I didn't realize I was alone, or I didn't realize I wasn't alone. And I didn't realize that there were people like me fighting for this, and doing the holy work of fighting for their marriages.
Yeah, for sure. And I thank you so much for having me on. And I feel like that's really what people feel inside of your podcast, is just that they are not alone and that they have a friend that's walking alongside them. So I just thank you for all of the work that you do and everything that you're putting out in this world.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Here's some questions I would love to ask you as we end our time together. How are you focusing on your marriage right now? How are you being super intentional with your loved one? And what's distracting you from the person you love the most? These are some questions I would love for you to ask and answer for yourself. I love that the reoccurring theme in today's conversation was mentorship and throwing out a lifeline, being honest and inviting others in. This is a reminder that we need community around us. We need people around us who are praying and who can see us behind our masks that we so often put on. So be sure to come back next week, because we're talking about mentoring. What a perfect follow-up, right? I can't wait to share my thoughts, some tips, and some biblical principles all about mentorship with you. So I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.